Hey, Regen. My name is Chelsea. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for control, finding my identity anywhere but Christ, and sexual sin. I grew up in a home, in a Christian home, where we went to church every week, but it wasn't really something I was interested in or something we talked about. The churches that we went to prioritized doing good works and shamed those who didn't live a godly life, so that's what I thought Christianity was. When I was probably 5 or 6, I was molested by a friend during a game, and while I didn't know what to think, I knew it was wrong because I never told anyone. I actually blocked it out of my mind until I went through Regen 2 years ago. A few years after that, my parents decided to move our family from South Louisiana to a suburb of Chicago for my dad's job. This is the first memory I have of realizing I'm not in control. From there, I wanted to do whatever I could to gain control over my environment and the people in it. The rest of my childhood was marked by wanting to be the perfect kid. I thought that if I did all the right things, God would give me good in return. But no matter how much I tried, each year of my life came with more and more sexual sin. Sin that I felt like I couldn't control and that I'd hide because of how dirty it made me feel. Middle school is when I first remember realizing that I was attracted to women, and it looked like going further and further sexually with both guys and girls around me. In high school, I was having inappropriate relationships with men and women, was watching pornography and masturbating every day, and was using my body to manipulate others and get things in return. After I was sexually assaulted by my high school boyfriend, I decided I would never be hurt by a man again and chose to use sex and my body for power. I decided that I would do whatever it took to always be in control so that I couldn't be hurt again. Looking back, I denied what happened in that relationship, but in reality, I was hurt, felt powerless, and out of control. So I used pornography and sex as a way to find pleasure and comfort. I let my mind wander in fantasy to numb the pain and to seek comfort. In the midst of all my pain, I felt this internal struggle of feeling shame and being praised for my sexual sin. My friends and I joked about and glorified sexual sin, but this was never something that I talked to my family about. It was a hidden area of my life. Around the same time, I found out that my grandma was diagnosed with cancer, and I remember thinking, if this is what God does to good people, then he must not be a good God, and I don't want anything to do with him. I decided church wasn't for me, and I stopped praying. I started sneaking alcohol from my parents, smoking weed, and doing whatever I wanted to find comfort. This quickly progressed when I got to college. It turned to blacking out multiple nights a week and hooking up with random people for my first year and a half in school. In the fall of my sophomore year, I remember my roommate shared the gospel with me, and I told her, hey, that's cool for you, but I'm okay. I don't really do the whole God thing. A couple of hard months later, in the midst of a pregnancy scare, I remember for some reason turning to God and begging him, God, if you help me to not be pregnant, I'll read my Bible or something. As it turned out, I wasn't pregnant, which meant I had to keep my end of the deal. I went back to that friend who shared the gospel with me, and we started reading the Bible together. She talked to me about God and answered my questions, but as my roommate, she knew all the things in my life, all the people I'd been bringing home, all the drunk nights, and yet I felt no shame talking about God with her. A few months later, I went to a conference where I heard a woman talk from stage about pornography and sex, things that I didn't think Christians were allowed to talk about. In that moment, I finally realized that God wanted a relationship with me, that he knew all that I had done and all that I would do, and yet he still wanted a relationship with me. I hadn't gone too far. I remember learning that when Jesus died the perfect death on the cross and rose again so that man could be united with God, that I was included in that. It literally made no sense, but I remember deciding that I wanted to give my life to that God. The rest of college was spent getting to know God and learning how to live a life that honored him. But the ministry I joined was one that felt legalistic and one where you had to do in order to be good enough. I remember hiding my sexual sin all over again. People were shamed for their sin, so I only talked about the sin that felt more acceptable to confess. I was hiding. I was hiding because of the shame that I felt and because I felt like my sin defined me, not Christ's work on the cross. I believed that my identity came from what I did and not from what he had already done. The shame felt even deeper now because I was a believer and was still struggling. I thought that once I started believing in God, life would be easy. I thought I'd stop struggling with purity and that my temptations would just go away, but they didn't. I continued to struggle with pornography, masturbation, and lustful thoughts. I'd have seasons of purity and seasons where I felt trapped in my sin. After graduating from Mizzou, I moved to Dallas with some friends, and they immediately invited me to go to Regen. These friends only knew the acceptable sins that I confessed, not all that I had hidden for all those years, and yet they still saw that I needed healing. Going into Regen, I felt trapped in sexual sin. I felt confused because Christ was supposed to break every chain, and yet I still felt enslaved to the cycle of masturbation, same-sex attraction, lust, fantasies, and so much more. Step three, trust, helped me to see that even though I knew God and I believed in God, I had to learn what it meant to fall in love with Him. I learned what God's grace really means and how to accept it into my life. It wasn't easy, but as I walked through step four, inventory, and step five, confess, I saw how shame led me to believe the lie that my sin defined who I am. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 had a really big impact on me during this time. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." How beautiful that God knew all I would do and he still chose me. During these steps, I began to pray that God would help me not just know who he says I am, but to believe that is who I am. Once I was able to believe that my sin doesn't change God's view of me, that is when I experienced freedom. I found freedom from my sin, not because I'm perfect and never struggle anymore. There are definitely times where I'm tempted to turn to the ways of the world and times where I see shame creep in, but I can believe the truth that God says. I know there is forgiveness, and I know that God calls me to holiness, not to be accepted, but to experience life. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Step 10 continue taught me that recovery happens every day. After commencing, I slowly started drifting from God and began fighting out of my own power, which put me right back where I started, feeling out of control and struggling with masturbation. I had to learn the value of daily relying on God for his strength and praying for 24 hours at a time. Now I have women around me who love me and point me to Christ, women who remind me that my identity isn't found in anything that I have done or will do, but in what Jesus has already done. Even though vulnerability and community is hard, God has used it in incredible ways to find healing in him. If you only hear one thing tonight, I hope it's this. Learn where your identity is. Learn who God says you are. Go to his word, and don't just read who God says you are, but pray that he would give you the strength to believe it. I once heard someone say, "Only orphans seek out love and approval and acceptance, but you have been adopted." I don't need to find love or approval or acceptance or anything else because I have all of those things in Christ. My name is Chelsea, I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for control, finding my identity anywhere but Christ, and sexual sin, and to God be all the glory.